Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to look at something I find, I'm not even sure I want to use the word interesting, but amazingly helpful as we look at things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening for a time we can gather together. Thank you for the word of God. We pray that you would be exalted through it. Lord, I pray that we might understand some things about you as a result of this. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. One of the things we can learn about people is what they like and what they dislike. Isn't that true? There was a couple, they were visiting their pastor. They was having a little bit of marital problems. And I don't know if I told you this or not, but he said, you need to find out what her favorite flower is. He says, well, I know what it is. And he said, oh, what is it? He thinking she might say a rose or something of that nature. And he says, just Pillsbury all-purpose. Anyways, aside from bad jokes, we do learn about people by the things they like and the things they don't like. And we find that with God just as much. And so we're going to look tonight at what I would just simply call the abominations of God. You find that there's a number of things. We're going to look at several things that God calls an abomination. And what this is, use that word, it means an extreme hatred, something he detests. It's the object of his detestation, if you please. And so I want us to notice some things here tonight. And some of these things you'll recognize, some of them you probably never thought about before, but they're abominations to God. I would put this in a step above hatred or below, whichever place you want to go. And it's something that is extremely odious to God. When you go to the book of Leviticus chapter 11, you can turn there if you want, but when you go to Leviticus chapter 11, you find that God makes a difference in the foods that they are to eat. And so there are those foods that he tells the Jew you're not to eat. In verse number 11 of chapter 11, he says, they shall be even an abomination to you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. And he just talked about fish and so forth. And goes on in verse 12 and a little bit more, whatsoever hath no fins or scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination unto you. And those are they which shall have an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination, the eagle and the osprey, ossifrage and the osprey and a number of others that are listed there. So we find that there are many things that they're an abomination to God. And many of those things, listen, every kid in this room probably could list a few more than God does, I imagine. How many kids here would say rhubarb is an abomination of God? Chad, you're a kid, huh? And all right. I like rhubarb. How many would say spinach is an abomination of God? Okay, some of you. How many have ever had cooked spinach? A lot of young people never had it. Okay. It's best with vinegar, by the way. But many foods are an abomination. We're going to look and we're going to see also there's a group of people. I'll use the word queer. Homosexual, if you please. They're an abomination. Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 22, it says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. That's God's word. I don't care what these fancy-faced guys say. It's just simply not true that God made Adam and Steve, Adam and Eve. In chapter 20 of verse 13 of Leviticus, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And so we find that there are many foods that are abomination. We find that those who have what someone would call an alternate lifestyle, it's a sinful lifestyle, it's an abomination. We find also in the Word of God that graven images are an abomination. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 25, the graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the gold or silver that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Basically saying, if you have some, don't even melt them down, use the silver or gold, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Listen, God is spirit, is he not? And so they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. And so we do not need a graven image. We don't need statues and all those kinds of things in our church and bow down before all those things and so forth. One of the most, I don't know if I call it disgusting, but that really, really bothered me going into a number of Catholic churches in Costa Rica, also down in Mexico. You'll find it in many third world countries. When you walk in the door, almost immediately you'll be confronted with a glass coffin. And in that glass coffin will be a mannequin that's to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of those, they'll actually have painted a little red spot on the stomach and on the hands and the feet to try to make it look a little more real. And by the way, we don't serve a dead Savior, amen? Up from the grave he arose. We find also, use the word bad sacrifices. In Deuteronomy 17, verse 1 says, thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish or any ill-favoredness, for that is an abomination of the Lord thy God. Many, many years ago, I have told this story a number of times here, but my good friend Kenny Blue was pastoring about 60, 70 miles from here in Iowa. He was going to school at the time, and a farm community, and they had one of the farmers in their church brought a big bunch of meat to him. And they said to him, they said, we butchered another cow, and this here's freezer burnt, and we just wanted to give it to you rather than throwing it out. Now, he was glad to get it, but when we give to God, it ought not be that which is freezer burnt, right? And so when we sacrifice to the Lord, it's that which is our best. There's another we find, and this is popular in our country nowadays. It's called cross-dressing. In Deuteronomy 22, verse number 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto the man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination of the Lord thy God. Yeah. And we find that quite rampant in our society today with our so-called drag queens, and I don't know what the kings are, but we find this to be a horrible situation. Another one we find that talks about the price of a whore or a dog as an offering. He says, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both of these are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. I believe it's obvious what that is. This is something interesting to me that God laid this down. We'll read four verses out of the book of Deuteronomy chapter 24. And it says, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she's departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, in other words, the first one, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife, after that she is defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. And I think he's trying to show to us the sanctity of marriage and so forth. Interesting, however, in the book of Jeremiah, the Lord referring to Israel and referring to him as his wife, he says this, they say if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return to her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. And we're thankful for the Lord's grace in our lives. We find in the Word of God that cheating in business, I believe sometimes we as Christians can be very guilty of this. We're not careful. He says, for all that do such thing, Deuteronomy 25:16, all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. And God wants to understand that our business dealings ought to be right and ought to be that which is pleasing to him. I'll use the word froward. When you're reading scriptures, you're going to come across this word froward. It's F-R-O-W-A-R-D. Sometimes we don't pay attention. We know what forward is. If we're going forward, we're going what? We're going ahead. Isn't that true? And it means to move forward. Fro, however, is just the opposite, and it means moving away. And thus, the word really has the meaning of being perverse. So listen to this, for the froward, the perverse person, is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. God wants you and I to understand that he blesses those who are righteous, those who are in the right place. By the way, those of you who listen to the Proverbs, you've noticed that there's really a theme that goes through out the book of Proverbs. And to this point, we have dealt pretty much with two or three topics. And one of them is dealing with the way we live, whether it's righteous or wicked. The other is dealing a great deal with the tongue. And, of course, there are other themes that run throughout Proverbs as well. I find this interesting. In Proverbs chapter 16, there's three verses, four verses, chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. Now listen to what it says. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. Now that's interesting that he says it that way. And it seems like when I look at this, these six things doth the Lord hate. He's talking about the first six, but then the seventh one, like the rest of them, is an abomination, but it's never been in a position of hate. It just went there. But listen to what it says. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. That's the one I think that God's trying to get us to understand is very, very serious. But these are things that we find are an abomination unto the Lord. Lying. One of the things that you have a great problem with your young folks, with your children, is teach them to always tell the truth. Especially if they are up against getting a whipping for something. They're about to get in trouble. They're about to have something come down upon them. And it's very easy for them to lie their way out. But the Bible says in Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Do you want to be on the side of abomination, or you want to be on the side of delight? And it has to do with the words we say. That is so important because God is what? God is truth. Because God is truth, because God is righteous in this area, God hates that which is false. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that the devil is what? The father of lies. Isn't he not? He was a liar from the very beginning. Here's another force to consider. That is the sacrifice of the wicked. If somebody who doesn't know the Lord, not living for the Lord, and so they're going to give to God thinking they're going to get his favor, it says the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. In chapter 15, verse number 9, it says the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loveth him that loveth or followeth after righteousness. In chapter 15 as well, verse 26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination of the Lord. Wow. So God is teaching us, I believe, some very, very important things about himself and the things that he severely does not like in our lives. And through that, trying to teach us about his perfection. To teach us about who he is, his own righteousness, his own holiness. We're not finished yet, but let's consider this. How many have ever had a problem with pride? If your hand hadn't gone up immediately, you probably have it right now. Seriously, we have a problem with pride. Isn't that true? We just do. Chapter 16 of the book of Proverbs, verse 5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Wow. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Even if we join with others in this, it does not make it any better. So pride is that which is abominable to God. Here's an interesting thought. Those who are in places of judgment that are guilty themselves, we have a lot of that today. Proverbs 16:12 says, an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. You see, God holds those who are in these places of judgment, these places of authority. He holds them accountable for these things. Yeah. Making false judgments. Proverbs 17, verse 15 says, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. And here we come to what sometimes is being called, they call that which is good, bad, and that which is bad, good. And so when we justify the wicked and condemn the just, is that happening in our society today? I don't know about you, but I look and I'm thinking to myself, our society is really an abomination to God in the general sense. And here's the sad part. God's people, Christians, who are out of the will of God, are often guilty of some of these. We've been in that position, no doubt. In Luke 16:15, he said to them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And we find ourselves guilty in this area. When we look at a holy God, a righteous God, and we begin to see the things that he hates and the things that he loves, I believe it also gives us an elevated idea of who he is. One of the things, I've heard a lot of people degrade the Ten Commandments because they think it's just 10 rules that don't let you do anything. By the way, I kind of like one of the rules that says, thou shalt not kill. Especially if it's you looking at me. I kind of like that. The command says, thou shalt not steal. You like that one? Do you feel violated when that happens to you? Of course. But what are those Ten Commandments showing? They're showing our sinfulness, but they're also showing the marvelous righteousness, the holiness of an almighty God. Why are people not getting saved today? Why are God's people not in a place where we ought to or fear him as we ought to? It's perhaps we do not have a real good look at his holiness, how marvelous he is. And so I bring these things to us that we might stop and consider that which is an abomination to him. These are things that God severely hates. And yet, we have been guilty. By the way, I'm very thankful God's forgiving, aren't you? I'm very glad that when those things do happen, I can come to him and he will forgive. I'm glad that like the wife who left and divorced and got another and left him and came back and wasn't supposed to, that God let her come back. And that's our loving, kind God. Thank God for that. Amen. For without that, you and I would be lost forever. So hopefully those are things that help us to really see the beauty of our God's holiness and that he would shine more in our lives as a result of that. I have found, I'm just kind of done speaking at the moment with this, but I found that there's something as a pastor that I want to do. It's really the goal. And that is to help you fall in love with God. That's the biggest thing. I can hammer you and pound you on all kinds of different things. And sometimes it needs to be done. Isn't that true? But if we've got the right motive because we're in love with God, that's when it works the greatest. And so that's something we're after. There's a difference, by the way, there and an evangelist. Evangelist comes in and preaches, but a pastor is seeking to build a people. And an evangelist sometimes just rips into some things and so forth. Brother Wells, he said the pastor is like the shepherd of the sheep. He said, I'm an evangelist and I'm the sheepdog. And so when an old ewe gets out of line, he says, my job is to grab her and take her down. And by the way, Al knew how to bite, didn't he? Oh, anyways, let's have a word of prayer. Do you have a thing tonight? Good. We haven't had one for a while. I have a whole bunch of my email stack I need to get out to folks as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for time together. Thank you for the word of God. Pray that you might work and bless. Help us to get a greater understanding and knowledge of who you are. Not only through those things you delight in, but those things that are detestable to you. And Lord God, that our lives might shine for you then. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.